Well, it's no secret that we live in a world full of chaos, uncertainty, and struggles. But we all face a choice, despair or prayer. But what if prayer isn't just a last resort? But what if it's the key to peace, purpose, and victory? Well, today I'm sitting down with author Dane Camella, whose powerful book, Choose Prayer, Not Despair, is literally transforming lives all around the world. We're diving deep into his own personal journey, the inspiration behind his book, and how you can shift from fear to faith starting today. So stay with us, because this conversation could be the breakthrough you have been praying for. Well, Dane, welcome to the program today. It's so good to have you with us on the James Epperly Show.
It's so good to be here with you too, James. Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. So, Dane, you have been helping people all around the world through your online community, Lit with Prayer. And now you have written a brand new book called Choose Prayer, Not Despair. I absolutely love that title. It speaks for itself, right? But before we jump into your book, I would love for you to take us back a little bit in your journey and tell us how you found Jesus and what that journey was that led you to leading an online community and now becoming an author.
First, I would say I never planned to share my faith online, have a social media platform or following. That's something that I never chased. I grew up in Arizona. That's still where I live right now. I had a mom who was really strong in her faith, a dad not so much so, but we grew up in church and I believed in Jesus, but I wasn't a follower and I didn't really get much out of going to church, church camp, the things that we did. My mom didn't put too much pressure on us as kids, but just prayed for the Lord to work on us. And we are all still believers today, thank the Lord. And it wasn't until I was 18 years old where I had gotten back from a trip where I scarred my face from doing something that I shouldn't have been doing, which was drinking too much with friends. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. Wasn't even, you know, enrolled in going to college, seeing all my friends getting scholarships to go to D1 schools. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was really lost, but I didn't, again, have a relationship with the Lord. So having 42 stitches in my face and having to try to figure that out, talking to my mom where she sees me, and you could just see she felt so, you know, bad for me and was praying over me too. But it was probably a few weeks after that event had happened that I, still living in Arizona, would always go to church with my mom on Sunday, even if I was there to tune out and not get anything out of it. But it was that, it was just one day in service. And it was probably because the message was around something that was more secular, like making money, that got my attention, because I didn't have a direction, a path, or a dream. But it came around to talk about the heart and, you know, that the Lord wants to bless these certain things. And I made a decision right then and there to say, Lord, I want to know you. I don't want to just like walk around and believe in you, but I want to know you. And he put something on my heart that day in church. My mom could see it. And I just started to follow him. And the first thing that I started to do was pray. You know, I read a little bit of the Bible, but prayer for me seemed like something that wasn't too difficult because I could just talk to him on my way to school when I got into community college trying to figure it out. And as I started to pursue him, he showed me something in myself that I never even thought about, which was the gift of encouragement. And when you discover something from the Lord on your life, you want to develop it and deploy it for him. So as I got to know him in prayer, I just started encouraging my family and my friends. I was encouraging the people I had a job with training at that time. And the Lord just did so many amazing things for me. I was a worried, shy, fearful kid growing up, but that wasn't who I was in Christ, but I didn't know who I was in Christ. I was walking from a place of not knowing who I actually thought, like who I actually knew or believed I knew at the time. And as I started to get to know him, he showed me a completely different side of myself that came alive. And so many great things were happening in that. But then at the same time, about 4 years into my walk with him, I was 22 at the time, I had an event that took place that I didn't understand. And because I was still a baby Christian in my knowledge of the word, I didn't understand how to defend myself from the enemy or the lies and the oppression that came. And what had happened over about a 4 to 6 month period of time is the enemy started to oppress my life. I opened myself up because I didn't know any better. I was entertaining something that was weird and spiritual. And because of that, it took me down this path of getting a mental health illness. I had a full-blown manic episode. Oh, wow. And for those of you who are listening or watching, a manic episode typically stems from someone who has bipolar disorder. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder 1. It got so bad that I was on the freeway after crashing my sister's car and running on the freeway saying, I'm gonna go to LA and I'm gonna do all this stuff and become an actor and save people. I didn't know what was going on. I was delusional. Wow. And all of these things. And it was so much darkness. And thank the Lord that he had his hand still on the situation. And I was able to get into get to the hospital. They tested my blood. I didn't have any alcohol or drugs in my system. And I admitted myself with the help of my family and their guidance to a behavioral health facility that I would sit in for 2 weeks, where they would give me a ton of medication. The doctors there were great. And I felt like during this time that the Lord had abandoned me. You know, my grandpa and mom would visit me and some other family members to pray alongside me, but they could see something was severely wrong. And if they've never dealt with that, yeah, the only thing that they know how to do is pray and encourage.
Yeah.
So I was there for 2 weeks. The doctor told my mom that they thought they had to give me such a cocktail because I was so far gone. I was delusional. My grandpa said you were telling me you were seeing demons, all this stuff. I was open up to that spiritual world. And because, again, I was a baby believer in my knowledge of the word, you know, not understanding how to like defend and fight against those lies, I operated in fear and it took place and the enemy was there. And throughout all of that stuff, God was still so patient with me looking back, you know, years and years later. Yeah. Like he had never left me. He brought me his word in that place. Someone brought his word to me on my bed and had me read Psalms 23 over my life and pray it. And I'm like, looking back on those things, like the Lord was with me throughout that whole time. But I eventually got out of the hospital. I was on a bunch of medications because I needed it at the time. I'm not someone who is, let's say, against medication because that was needed for me in that particular time. And after going to a Christian psychologist, they told me after doing a brain map on my brain to show me with physical evidence, you have severe bipolar disorder 1. And because of that, you're going to have to be on medication so you don't have another one of these manic episodes happen again.
Okay.
And in that moment, my identity was being challenged. Not challenged in the sense of that I was blind to that being the case, because it was, but it was, are you going to believe what has been spoken over you in this situation? And because I had a mom who had such great faith,
yeah,
she sat there with me and encouraged me to say, son, you serve a God who can heal you, a great physician in Jesus Christ, and yes, by sir, his stripes, you will be made well. Her encouragement to me in a place where everything had fallen apart. I'd lost my job, dropped out of my last year in school. Everything that God had blessed for the last 4 years was doing so well, but I thought was taken. She encouraged me so much in that moment to say, I know this is the situation. I'll take the medication right now, but I don't believe this is going to be the rest of my life. Wow. I believe that I can be healed. If she has the faith to believe that and has sat with me through with my grandpa and some other strong believers to pray for that too, I'm going to do that as well. So I sat there, I started finding scriptures, praying with her, praying, just renewing my mind to God's word and saying, Lord, I've never seen you move in this way. I've never seen someone healed in church, but that's not gonna make me not think you can do it. Yeah. I believe you can. And I'm just gonna trust that you're gonna heal me in your time. And I'm gonna speak your scripture over my life. I'm gonna renew my mind. I'm never gonna speak this illness over my life, never. So I still did the things. And 2 weeks later, we went back to that same church service where I started to follow Jesus. And this is a church service. You don't see any of these things happen. At least I didn't see any of these things happen. At the end of the service, this was interesting too. 2 weeks ago, I was listening to a praise and worship song. I haven't heard it in so long. It brought me right back to that moment in that church service. And the praise and worship song is It Is Well. You know that song, It Is Well With My Soul? That was playing the day that what happened that I'm going to explain to you happened. And it just brought me to tears. And I just prayed and sat there because I thank God for what he did. Every single day I have the opportunity to sit with him. But after they finished that message, my mom looked over at me because the pastor and his wife said, you guys, if anyone needs prayer, come up for prayer. She looked right over me. She's like, Dan, you should go up. Sat up, walked straight down right to the pastor and his wife. Not that many people had walked up. I told them the situation, put my hands in theirs. They started to pray with me. In a few moments after they started to pray with me, my hands started to shake. I didn't know what was going on. They even were a little like, whoa, what's happening? But I knew, I'm like, Lord, you are about to heal me. This is what you do. And they kept praying. And then I even was kind of like muttering some things out of my mouth. And maybe it was that spirit of oppression just trying to hold on. But they kept praying. And the moment they got finished praying, I felt something lift from my life, like lift off my body. And right then and there, I was like, Lord, you have just healed me. It was such just, it changed my entire life about what I believe about what God can do. And it was 2 weeks. 2 weeks went by. I got off all the medication. And I've been walking free from that oppression, that illness that has no cure, for over 10 years. And little did I know that 8 years would go by and God would then call me to start sharing my faith. Something I did not ask him to do, but I couldn't not be obedient to what he asked me to do. So I just started praying for people, and we're here 5 years later. And you know, the mental health is a big part of that too, just to help people understand the God that they serve and that he is in the business of healing his children and bringing them out of redemption, bringing them out of pain and challenge to experience wholeness and healing.
Come on, man, you're preaching good today. That's good. So tell me a little bit about what's been happening with your online community and how that has developed and what you see God doing through that.
Yeah, great question. So I had an amazing job that God was blessing in technology. I did that after, you know, coming out of what I was going through previously, and God just blessed that tremendously. And I just used my gift of encouragement, you know, in the marketplace, which was great. But when he came to me and asked me to start sharing my faith, I didn't know what that looked like. I was like, Lord, I'm not a pastor. I'm not qualified to do this. I tried to talk myself out of it in, you know, seven different ways.
Yeah.
I just asked a question and I said, Lord, if you want me to do this, what could I do that I would feel comfortable sharing and confident sharing? And the answer was prayer. So I said, can I just pray for people? Is that all I can do? Is that something you want me to do? And it just felt right. So I just picked up my phone once a day. I think I just got on TikTok because no one knew me there.
Yeah.
And I just prayed for people once a day and went back to my job. That was the first 8 months. Wow. And I didn't blow up. I didn't have some like huge viral video like you hear about a lot today. It was just a couple hundred people and people saying, hey, I needed that. Because this was during a time where the whole world was shut down. A spirit of fear was on our world and people were encouraged by it. I started getting messages from people who were like, hey, you're helping me dive back into my faith just from a prayer, just from a simple prayer. And I said, Lord, that's something you can use. Like, I don't have to sit here and preach and do all these things that we see or that we think is like ministry, but ministry can just be showing up and giving you the glory and praying for people. So
in your book, you talk about really this intersection of mental health and prayer. It's kind of the pinnacle theme of your book.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that, of this intersection of prayer and mental health?
Yeah, great question. So if you think about just like your everyday mental health, right? We have tons of thoughts that go on every day. We have thoughts that are conscious. We have thoughts that are unconscious. And all this stuff starts in the soul, right? We're a spirit being, we have a body, and we have a soul, right? When you receive Christ as Lord, you receive the Holy Spirit. That becomes alive and active and gives you the ability to communicate to God. But then you also have a body and a soul. And your soul is comprised of your mind, your will, and your emotion. Your mind is everything you think about, all those thoughts that come in. Your will is your free will to choose what to do, choose to love the Lord or follow the ways of the world. And then your emotions, how you feel, right? So if I know I have emotions as a believer and the word talks about the soul, I'm going to feel sometimes good. I'm going to feel sometimes peaceful, sometimes anxious, and sometimes worried. So my mental health and the way in which I live in a place of having mental health that is alive in the Lord and receiving that fruit is going to be predicated on these thoughts and what I'm actually doing with these thoughts. So if I know that I can, like the Bible says in Romans 12, 2, to not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, this amazing soul that God has given me, I can choose to direct it into the presence of the Lord through prayer. I can choose to direct it into the word, which renews my mind and gives me the ability to experience emotions of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. So yes, we're gonna all feel different emotions throughout the day. It's about recognizing that in our soul, we have the choice through our free will to submit our soul to our spirit man. And one of the best ways to do that is prayer, because not only in prayer can we talk to God about the things that are going on, repent of the challenges that we've been struggling with, but also give him his word, speak his word, which you know, cannot return void to him, and he cannot deny his word. But his word is also full of things that help us stay strong mentally.
Yes,
you know, when we can speak different things from his word in prayer to him, and what happens as we pray and talk to him, God's spirit meets us and renews us and refreshes our soul. And because it refreshes our soul, the emotional home we live in is a place of what the fruit of the Spirit brings instead of, let's say, the anxiety and the worry of everyday living, because that is the pattern of this world. Mm. That's where the enemy wants to keep you in, is to keep you in that state of fear, to keep you to think God doesn't love you. You're never going to make it. You were not called for anything. Look at your life. Look at the mistakes you made. How could God love you? It's in those moments that we take thoughts captive,
yes, sir,
and we make them obedient to Christ. And prayer, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful ways to do that as a believer, because you don't just get to talk to him, thank him, give him glory.
Yeah.
You also get to walk in the authority that you've been given as a believer to say, this is what the word has said over my life. And I can come into agreement with it because it's the truth. It never changes. And as you do that, it changes you from the inside out.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's good. So you know, obviously in your story, you were on medication and, you know, were hospitalized for a short period of time, and then God brought healing to that. What do you say to somebody when it comes to the role of medication in their journey? Is it something that, hey, you know, we reject medication, we should be on it for a time? What do you say to people who are kind of questioning the role of medication?
It is such a difficult topic, because I also think it has so much to do with the person and where they're at in what they believe and how they believe the Lord is involved in what's going on. And for me, I took medication because we didn't know what else to do. And it wasn't just like, I'm dealing with a lot of anxiety. I was dealing with a full-blown manic episode that I was delusional, and I could not help myself to the point where I could have done something that seriously could have affected my life, could have put me in a really bad place.
Yeah.
So for me, it was so important for me to have, because the severity of the mental health condition I was in. And because of that, medication was really important to bring me back from this delusion, right? Because in our brains, especially with someone going through a mental illness that is diagnosed based on behavior,
yeah,
and things like I was going through, medication was needed to just balance what was going on in my brain, because it was so unbalanced. Even the doctor said, we had to give you medication because your brain was so imbalanced that it's destroying itself because of that. And I felt the repercussions after going through that. I felt like everything I'd learned had been wiped. My memory wasn't as strong, all of those things. So if someone is thinking about this, I would take time to find even, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists who have a faith-based background.
Yes, sir.
That's what I had. The faith-based psychologist, the Christian psychologist, I was doing a Bible study with them. They also believed that I could be healed, but they also knew, based on the severity of the mental health illness I was going through, hey, we're going to need you to take medication right now. We're going to believe that God can heal you, but this, we do not want this to happen again. So I think it's predicated on the actual diagnosis of what it is. And I do believe at the same time that whatever happens in your mental health, whether it's you are dealing with a lot of depression, anxiety, worry, I believe that God can heal us from all of those things, because those do not come from him. And he wants us to be whole and healthy and well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a journey that's similar to yours. And there was a really tough season going through mental health struggles. And the same for me, I mean, going through counseling, and especially with a Christian counselor, man, it just made a world of impact. So that is so good, just to encourage people to do that. But for someone today who maybe feels spiritually dry or disconnected, and you know, they're really struggling, what would you say to them to start developing a prayer life? Because your whole book is kind of leaning into this aspect that prayer is one of the keys to breakthrough. So for somebody who's struggling in that realm, and they, you know, maybe don't have a great prayer life, they haven't been taught about the power of prayer, how would you encourage them to start?
Yeah, I love talking about this topic. And for the person who feels that way, we all go through periods like that. Like I have felt, even in the last few years, where I just feel not as on fire for the Lord. And the thing that makes all of the difference is my heart posture to just say, I know I might not be feeling like I felt maybe a couple months ago. I'm going to do what I know that is the most important thing for me to experience you, and that thing that can bring fire back into my life, which is sitting with you in prayer, Bible study, praise and worship, and getting around other believers who are on fire for you. So when I'm stumbling or struggling, they can lift me up in prayer. Community is so important, and I think that's something that's lacking so much. But when it comes to prayer, I like to just talk to people about how I started. It was, I have a Heavenly Father who loves me so much, but He also wants a relationship with me. That's why He loves me so much. And in order for a relationship with Him to be built, I need to spend time with Him. Look at the best relationship you have in your life. That was not built in a week, a month, or even a year. It was built over years of time, effort, and patience. And don't even worry about all the different things you have to do when you pray. Just come to Him with an honest heart. Tell Him everything that's on your mind. He wants to know everything. He's not like, I just want to hear you praise me. He wants you to praise Him because He's worthy of being praised, but He also wants to know what's going on. What are you struggling with? This is why repentance is so important. But we think when we repent and we talk to God about the things that we've struggled with, He runs from us because we're not good enough. We are saved by grace and faith and belief in Jesus Christ. And when you repent and talk to Him from your soul of saying, Lord, I need you. He loves you and He meets you. So just creating a practice, even if it's in the morning or just different times throughout your day, to know that someone wants to spend every moment with you. You. They love you so much and they want you to understand their love and what that love does in regards to the change that happens within your heart, your mind, and your soul as a believer. So it's just making the time and not worrying about, oh, I need to feel something. Like if God doesn't show up, there's times I pray where I don't feel anything, but I'm not there to get something from God. I'm there to do something that is so important to protecting me, to giving me great peace, because that still comes even if you don't feel Him. His peace is for you. And as we seek Him and seek Him with all our heart, like the Word says, we find Him. So just developing that practice, not trying to make it something based on what someone else has said to you, but just have an open, honest conversation with Him. And as you keep doing that, He'll start pressing things on your heart. You'll start sharing things. People will come to your mind, and that's the Lord working. That's the best part about it. But we just have to make an effort to say, this is going to be something that I'm going to do every day, and I'm never not going to do it, because I know when I do it, He is there whether I can feel Him or not.
Absolutely. And you know, you're saying this, it reminds me of even the scripture that says, pray and faint not. And He attaches that imagery of being weary and fainting to an absence of prayer being in our lives. And really, that's what it all boils down to. Are we connected with God? Are we having that relationship? If we're not receiving life from our Creator, mm-hmm. then it's no wonder that we struggle and we faint yes. and we have difficulty in life. So, Dane, would you take a minute and pray for our viewers who maybe they're struggling in the area of mental health, maybe they're just struggling in general, but would you pray for them today that the power of God would reach them right where they are?
I would love to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this opportunity to connect and talk about You more deeply. I just lift up every single person under the sound of my voice. And Lord, I pray that You meet them right now. Will You remind them right now by showing up in a way that they have never experienced You, to know that You're there, to know that You never leave them or forsake them, to know that You're with them when they go in and You are with them when they go out. And whatever it is that they're facing right now, Lord, maybe it's a ton of just anxiety, worry, not feeling like they're moving fast enough. Help them know that You walk at a pace that is different from theirs. And as we learn to sit with You in prayer, we learn to sit with You and just crave Your presence. You're there and You show up. So I just pray for You to take all those anxieties right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for all fear to leave them in the name of Jesus. Lord, Your word says You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Lord, as they read Your word each day and find scriptures to meditate on for the situation that they're dealing with, will You write Your word on their heart so they never forget it? Will You give them the ability to use that word whenever they're feeling that thing, to know that they can get through this thing because You are with them and that You never leave. You have never taken Your eyes off them. And I just pray for health, wholeness, and healing for anyone who is sick, unwell, who has been battling something that has just been on their life in a struggle for them and their family. We are believing right now that You are breaking chains of addiction. We believe right now in the name of Jesus that You are healing them totally and completely from the top of their head to the bottom of their souls. That is who You are, Lord. Will You help them muster up the faith to believe believe that you can still do it and you can still move in their life, Lord, because you love them, you're our great physician, and you are involved in seeing this person through to the other side. So not only they can be healed, but they can testify to the goodness of your name and who you are as a loving father, a redeemer, and someone who is involved in helping them experience all the goodness that you want for them. We love you and thank you. And we believe right now that you are transforming them, setting them on fire if they felt dry, and getting them ready to step into a season where you are going to move so much in their life to let them know that you've called them, you've equipped them, and you are positioning them right now for something great that gets to testify to your name and be able to make an impact on others for your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
At Pioneer Television Network, we are dedicated to spreading the spirit of revival and sharing the hope and love of Jesus with people everywhere. Every broadcast, every message, and every life touched is made possible through the generous support of people just like you. Your gift will not only help us continue to share this life-changing message, but also empower us to reach even more people with the hope of revival. As our way of saying thank you, we love to send you a book of your choice from one of our recent ministry guests. It's easy to give. Use the information at the bottom of your screen or text PTN now to 1-888-364-GIVE. Your generosity will help us bring the spirit of revival to countless lives around the world. Thank you for standing with us and for being part of this incredible mission. Together, we're making an eternal impact.
Well, what an incredible conversation with Dane Camella. His book, Choose Prayer, Not Despair, is truly a powerful tool to strengthen your faith and help you navigate life's challenges with prayer at the center. Now, we want to continue bringing you faith-filled broadcasts just like this, and you can help. With a gift of just $25, you'll be supporting this ministry and helping us reach even more people with the message of hope. And as a thank you, we would love to send you a copy of Dane's book. To give your gift and receive your copy, visit our website today. Now, just one more thing. We believe that prayer changes everything. So if you have a prayer request, we would be honored to stand with you in faith. Send us your prayer request and our team will be praying for you right away. Now, remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Life can be hectic, and we often find ourselves rushing from one task to the other. However, with the Pioneer Network app, you can discover faith and inspiration wherever you are. Featuring original programming crafted to uplift and strengthen your faith, the app connects you with some of the world's leading Christian voices 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're commuting, exercising, or taking a break, spiritual enrichment is now just a tap away. Don't let the busyness of life distract you from your faith journey. Stay inspired and uplifted. Download the Pioneer Network app today on your favorite platform. This has been the James Epperly Show. This worldwide broadcast is made possible by friends and partners of Pioneer Television Network. Your faithful monthly support helps take this message around the world. To learn more, visit thejamesepperlyshow.com.